Hello, and welcome to the Cannabis Corner. I am your host, Joshua Braff, and I'm here with my partner, Farmer Adam Teitelbaum. On today's episode, we continue with our Q&A session at the Lafayette Library in Lafayette, California. Joining Adam and I is Sarah Pion of the San Francisco Apothecarium and Danielle Schumacher of THC Staffing Group and Dr. Frank Lucido's office of Berkeley. Enjoy.
Is there a benefit to seeing a cannabis-related physician for recommendations for medical marijuana products, or can you simply visit a dispensary? This is good for Danielle, who works with Dr. Frank Lucido of Berkeley. He's just a superhero in our world, and he was knowledgeable a very long time ago about all of this.
And also since day one that he's been doing the cannabis recommendations, there's a nurse practitioner there too, Maria Mangini, who's equally amazing. They're really complimentary. I wish there were more medical professionals like them, because they're still some of the only. In the 10 years I've been working for them, we really thought we would start to see more doctors want to do this. But most of the doctors that do this are just doing a 5-minute paperwork process. So in general, I don't recommend visiting one of those really cheap, quick doctors if you're trying to get advice. If you need medical advice, Lucido and Mangini and Berkeley are one of the only still. And at dispensaries, there are some good staff. Like Sarah is one of the only dispensary staff that I know of that is really knowledgeable on this and really thoughtful. The problem with getting your advice from the dispensary is that they're not trained for that. Most of them are paid at an entry-level rate, so they're treated as entry-level staff that are replaceable. That's a big problem. That's part of why I started the staffing company that I have, because this just isn't making sense, that regular doctors are too afraid to talk about this and don't know enough to make recommendations. And then the staff at the dispensaries are not trained, or they're just trained to sell the products that are going to make the most money. So you have to really keep that in mind if you're getting your advice from a dispensary. You don't know what their motivation is or what their experience is. So also, just to touch on some of the things we've covered, that is actually a lot of these questions are about specific conditions. Like we got a few questions about arthritis, pain, of course. There's so many different kinds of pain. Everybody's different. It's not like pharmaceuticals where it's really straightforward. With cannabis, as you're hearing, you know, there's different ways to use it. So this is the kind of thing a doctor or a really knowledgeable friend can walk you through. It's a guided experiment. So the other big problem we have right now is the strains, for instance. It's just a name. So we have to get away from relying on the strain name to tell us what it's going to do. We have to really look at the test results and what else is in there. So how much CBD, how much THC, how much CBN, and all these other things we're finding out about. It's really complex. There's really nothing like it. There really isn't anything like this on the market. So it's a work in progress. And like they said, something that a doctor recommends for you, for your ailment, might not work. It might be the opposite of what the doctor thinks is going to work. So let's see.
Arthritis comes up a lot, and muscle pain.
Could I mention something regarding that? So specifically for that, they're great topicals, different ointments and creams. Some have CBD, some have CBD and THC, some have CBD only, some have CBG, some have CBD, CBN. What are all these acronyms? There are all these different parts of the plant, and such as Sarah had mentioned terpenes. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the term terpenes, but I mean, all like plants and fruits all have natural terpene profiles. And as a matter of fact, mango is one that connects with cannabis. And if you have cannabis, if you have mango before you consume cannabis with a terpene called myrcene, I believe it's myrcene, you'll have a very increased effect. And that's something you'd either want or maybe not want. And the plant world really intersects in this way. And so there's a lot more to it. And that's why I also think things like where Sarah's talking about, maybe not just CBD. It's really the whole plant, you don't want to necessarily miss out on parts of the plant. Maybe you want a little bit of THC. And you know what? What's wrong with feeling good, right? This drug has been used, you realize, for over 4,000 years. We have documented written evidence in China. So you want to talk about a drug that's been used longer by humans than any other? It's cannabis. And at the turn of the, you know, century, between the 1800s and the 1900s, cannabis was the third most common ingredient in prescribed medicine by physicians in the United States. So, you know, we're trying to get back to some roots here. And so I would say that the creams are fantastic, a great way to get into maybe helping some arthritis and not getting high. And really feeling some instant results. I use this stuff every day. A lot of people, there's that funny thing associated with cannabis that we're lazy stoners, just hanging out on the couch eating chips. That's not true.
We're pretty productive.
Pretty productive. I can tell you that I've in my new position in Tacoma, I've worked the last 5 weeks. I've had one day off, and I've been putting in 14 to 18 hour days to grow these plants to make this happen. So if you're saying that you think it's unmotivating, I'd think again, because I ingest it in about every form imaginable throughout every day of my life, and I have for a long time. So,
and I think you were talking about topicals, right?
Yes,
you said
I was.
Creams, but I almost didn't hear it. So I just
yes,
to
I said
reiterate.
Creams. And you know what? And speaking to that, somebody also asked, yeah. Can I make my own ointment from flowers? And the question is yes. As a matter of fact, I'm not meaning to give a plug specifically to the Magical Butter Machine, but we had this guy on as a guest, and this product is phenomenal. You could literally take it, go buy some flour or get flour from somebody, and put it in this machine, put in a couple of ingredients, and you're going to make yourself some ointment or tincture or butter. And so there are really simple ways to make some of these things for yourself. That answers this question as well.
Yeah, it's this product. It's like a George Foreman oven or something. But you put your product in, you put your ingredients in, and out comes the perfect dosage for the edible or tincture. Tincture is a big might be a question for all of you. How does one take tincture, and what is that? Were you thinking about talking about cream for a second?
Yeah.
On arthritis, we've seen it work amazingly.
We've gotten a lot of questions here about topicals, and so, yeah, they definitely are worth a try. They don't get into your bloodstream, so they shouldn't make you feel high. But if they relieve your pain, you might feel kind of high because you're going to just feel good because your pain is relieved, right? So also keep in mind that when you're starting out with these, whatever method it is, whatever dose, your body needs a chance to get used to how that feels. So you should stay with the same dose for at least a week. Don't keep changing things. Just be patient and try that same dose for a week, because you might feel like it's too much the first day, but the second day you're kind of getting used to that feel. It's not necessarily that you're building up a tolerance. It's that your body's just figured out what to do with it. It's really complex plant medicine. So it's treating more than one ailment too. So give it a chance to work, see how it feels. What I'm always saying to patients, they'll call and say, okay, the doctor started me on this small dose. I'm not feeling anything. Should I increase it? It's like, well, you didn't want to feel anything, right? You don't want to feel high. So it's up to you. You can increase the dose and see if you feel something. Or what I really ask them is, you'll know if it's not helping, right? Like if it's for sleep, okay? Is it disturbing your sleep? No. Okay, so maybe it's not getting better, like noticeably better within the first week, but it's not getting worse. It's not making things worse. So just stick with it. You can try more than one thing at a time. That's what some of these questions are about. You know, they've tried a tincture and they've tried a topical. It's not helping. Have you tried them together? You know, a lot of patients, especially with really severe back pain and nerve pain, we have some questions about that. You might need more than one, or some people use three or four different methods. So they use edibles, tinctures, smoke, and topical.
You know, that's a great point. I use cannabis for so many different things that my father always thought that I sounded like some charlatan on some stagecoach, like traveling from town to town. I was like, it helps, solves everything, glaucoma, arthritis. I have nerve damage from a botched surgery on my foot, and it's numerous methods of ingestion that or the only thing I found that's a very good point with nerve pain is hitting it with numerous methods. One definitely doesn't cut it.
And is cream?
Cream is one of those. And I've had success though with a lot of creams.
There's a lot of experimenting to be done, and also
cream is a great
going very very slow. When you're talking about edibles, you're talking about a sliver and then seeing what happens. Where people get in trouble and where the fear builds is if you find yourself having eaten too much of something and you can feel not like yourself. You can feel kind of...
A lot of people think immediately, like, am I going to die? I mean, literally, I remember these two ladies who were patients of mine and my wife's, and I told them, take a quarter of this brownie that I'm giving you and don't take any more, these two ladies. I got two separate phone calls late that night. One lady was in an alley in downtown Fort Collins, scared to death that everybody was out to get her and she was lost from her friend. And the other lady was just holed up in her car. And I went and got both of them and found out that they had each eaten an entire brownie because it was delicious.
And they didn't feel anything. He took the first bite.
Right.
I know he said, don't take the second bite.
It could take 1 to 2 hours.
Anybody who's had a bad experience, this is the protocol. It's, I thought I could do it. And then that person who has that experience won't touch cannabis for the rest of their lives.
Correct.
And we're trying to say, especially as
so go
as
slow.
Evolving.
I think I've heard it said a number of times up here by different people. Go slow. That's why introductory way, like a cream, a topical, is a fantastic way to
many ways to use it and not get high.
Right, exactly.
But I also think that tracking is really important. You have to create a safe container for experimentation. You know, in this crazy world that we live in, we're rushing from event to event, moment to moment, we lose touch with our bodies. And cannabis is one of those rare opportunities that we get to ground and actually be in touch with how we feel. So before you take anything, journaling is really important. Take a moment. Just do a mind and body scan. You don't have to do a lot. It doesn't even have to be hippy-dippy, I promise. But just make a few notes about how you feel mentally and physically. And then make a note of what you've taken, how much you took of it, and when you took it. And then as you start to feel the effects, make note of what's working, what's not working, what your impressions are, because this is all really valuable information about how you personally metabolize cannabis. So even if it didn't go the way you expected, even if it went maybe what you expect, what you're thinking is wrong, it's valuable information. And then you can tell them, you know, the next time you go, how you felt, so they can help you pick something else out. And Danielle's right. Most dispensaries that you go to are not like mine. I lead the charge as far as education with our professionals, and I'm looking to do this on a national level so that we have educated professionals in all of our dispensaries. We have a lot of work to do around that. But just secondly, too, just a word about euphoria. Everyone's afraid of euphoria. We live in this puritanical society where everyone's afraid of it. People come to me, they're like, Sarah, I'm afraid I'm going to get high. Well, what are you taking for your pain? Well, I'm taking Norco. What are you taking for your anxiety? Well, I'm taking Xanax. Well, you are getting high. You're getting pharma high, and your doctor knows about it. So tell your doctor about cannabis. Tell them what you're doing. Make sure that they know so that they can. You can have the conversations that... It's our job right now to educate our healthcare professionals because not everybody is like Dr. Frank, who, you know, is amazing with the work that he does. I do trainings at UCSF and Kaiser. I'm actually going to be teaching some oncology nurses next week about it, and it's really important that they learn so that they can have the conversations with their patients. But it's up to us, even when our doctors know, to be advocates for ourselves and to know what's best for us and to use critical thought to figure out how our bodies metabolize cannabis.
It's true. I trained my personal physician in Fort Collins, Colorado in 2001. He just could not understand cannabis as medicine and thought it was so foreign. In February, I was just in his doctor's office, and I overheard him in the next room with an older woman, and all I heard was, oh, cannabis would be great for that. And he came in, and I said, gosh, do you remember that it took me about 6 years for me to get you to this point? And he said, yeah, I'm kind of ashamed. He said, as far as my Hippocratic Oath, I violated it. And that was how strongly he felt. And this guy is such a proponent. And, man, I gave him a giant hug before I left Fort Collins. I love that because he's educating his patients and helping his patients. So
we interviewed some folks who just kept saying, I wish, so 50 years I've been taking this pharmaceutical for this problem of mine, and it's led to so many issues. I just wish I knew. I just wish I knew. And we love hearing things like that, because it means that there's generations to come who won't be sidetracked for the thing that works best for them. We have a question about alcohol and mixing marijuana with alcohol.
What's the question?
We're gonna try to get through as many of these questions as we can, and a lot of them are overlapping.
What about alcohol and cannabis? Can we mix them? Anybody?
I'd say use caution. And what I would also say, anytime you try a new cannabis product, you should try it at home. Don't get stuck in your car or in an alley somewhere.
And certainly when trying something new, I would not recommend mixing the two.
And yeah, absolutely not. But if it is a product that you're familiar with, wait until you have the effects of the cannabis product before you have any alcohol, because it will be like the worst drunk that you have ever been on, mm-hmm. including nausea. It's we call it crossfading. You don't want to get crossfaded. It's miserable. So really, like, use caution. And maybe have a sip or two of wine or whatever it is and sit back and see how you feel, but not until you feel the full effects of the cannabis product.
Yeah, enjoy some cannabis-infused wine. I know there's this cannabis-infused wine. We interviewed this lady. It's got cannabis.
Cannabis-infused wine. She says, you know what, my family, we're all drinkers, and so we are no longer drinkers. We're no longer alcohol people.
Yes.
But we want to sit in the circle like everybody else does.
Be social.
And be social. And but apparently that particular beverage is, yes, Adam?
I'm sorry. I got to say something about alcohol and cannabis, really unrelated, is the number of people that I have seen combat alcoholism successfully with the help of cannabis by replacing that as a substance that allows this person to kind of become and find themselves again and be available for them, their family members, their friends. I've seen it turn around lives in the most amazing ways. So I always really do laugh when I hear people, you know, who are usually got a glass of whiskey in their hair and saying, oh, you're such a pothead. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we're usually scolded by people drinking. So,
and this is kind of related to, this is a really good question about how much cannabis impaired driving is there.
Well, that's a good,
great question.
So that question made me think of this one that, if you're going to mix alcohol and cannabis, you're probably impaired and, you know, avoid driving if you don't have to. But of course, there's people who can drive safely. I know that one of the only studies that's actually been done about driving under the influence of cannabis shows that those people are actually safer drivers because they're driving a little slower and more carefully. So, but mixing cannabis and alcohol, I don't know that there's been a study on that. So, and as far as what can we do about impaired driving? I mean, roadside drug tests for impairment are really not that helpful because they're just looking at the content, your blood content. They're not actually testing your impairment. So I think that all of these things that we're worried about people driving under the influence of really should all be treated similarly. Like, I'm worried about people who are sleep deprived and driving. I'm worried about people who are on a bunch of pharmaceuticals and driving. So I think we need to treat everybody the same and test them for actual impairment based on their performance. So I know that a lot of the tax revenue from legalization in California is going towards this. So we're trying to figure out better ways to test for impairment. So if you're concerned about that, it's a legitimate concern, and the tax revenue is part of that, supposed to offset the public safety issue there.
Can CBD be active without any traces of THC?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a completely different substance.
Okay, that's important. You have another question?
Yeah, I used to actually poo-poo like having CBD on its own. I was like, oh, you need to have some THC, and talking a lot about, you know, the synergistic effects between THC and CBD. And there is a lot of truth to that. But that being said, like, I have a family member who works for the state and can't have THC metabolites in their body, and they're having back problems with anxiety and sleep. And so we did use a pure CBD derived from cannabis, a tablet for him at 5 milligrams. And it helped take down anxiety, which in turn helped him sleep and did help with the pain in his
just
back.
Just 5 milligrams. That's great.
We're doing 3 times a day.
3 times. That's fantastic.
But it's, you know, that's not everybody.
Right.
You know, and also I really caution about CBD derived from hemp because there's a lot of controversy as far as actually if there's CBD in it at all. And if you're looking at industrial hemp that is not actually grown for human consumption, and because hemp and cannabis are bioaccumulators, whatever they've grown it in, you will take in. There's some massive pyramid schemes that are going on around.
You got to be careful CBD in the oil. CBD industry. And she's right, because one of the uses for hemp is to detoxify land. It's one of the best plants. If there's been major contamination of land, grow a bunch of hemp and it'll take that stuff right out of the land. But I wouldn't go consuming that. I'd use it as a fiber, but not as medicine.
You
want to
have
medicine.
Yeah. If you want to go the pure CBD route, do it derived from cannabis where it's been tested, so you actually have proof of the cannabinoid count.
There's a lot of snake oil out there. There really is, unfortunately.
Speak to that a little bit. You can get your hands on something that will have an adverse effect because...
Or maybe no effect, maybe an adverse effect. Okay. Correct.
If it's no effect, you know, that's the least of your worries. But if you're taking in toxins, that's a whole other thing.
We're going to talk a little bit about mental illness, and we'll go to Danielle in that she's at Dr. Lucido's office, and there are patients coming in all the time with different ailments. Here we are talking about physical ailments and sleep problems. And what about depression and anxiety? Anxiety, for sure, is one of our key hashtags, as it were, but depression and bipolar disorder?
Yeah, and I want to include ADD and ADHD in there. We've gotten some questions about that. And I digress for just a minute to the hemp issue. This is related. A lot of these questions are about safety and what does the testing really tell us? All of this is really important, especially for depression, anxiety, ADD. Just be really careful. You know, a lot of people, when they're talking about CBD, they don't realize that there's hemp-based CBD and cannabis-based, and that, you know, so many people want to go for 100% CBD. That's really not possible. That's one of the things we're always telling people at Dr. Lucido's office, is there's a lot of misinformation out there. So it's really hard to have 100% CBD. And most people get the best effect from something closer to a 1-to-1 balanced ratio. So... depression, anxiety, ADD, the thing that those three have in common is start with a really tiny dose and just one method. So what's the method that's going to be most practical for you, which is another question we had about how to decide between the methods. So Sarah mentioned something about 3 times a day. Somebody 3 times a day might work for them. But what about someone who can't take it 3 times a day, who needs something that will last them throughout the day? So edibles are going to be most long-lasting, but they're slow to take effect. So you have to kind of plan around that. Tinctures will be a little quicker to kick in, but you might need to take them a little bit more often. You don't want to take a huge dose to try to get you through the day, because it doesn't work like that. Really, you'd have to kind of take a little bit throughout the day if what you're going for is something more stable. So we've had patients who have been depressed, severely depressed for many years and on all kinds of pharmaceuticals, and all it takes is one dose for them.
But it's also got to be the right strain, right? Like the right
A dose of tincture.
Right.
For instance.
But is it just any tincture?
It could, for some people, it's just anything. Okay. Just to get some THC into their system. It could be a really small dose, just enough for them to feel the difference. Like, I feel good, or I feel rested, or I didn't feel anxious nonstop today. I got a break from the anxiety. So for some people, yeah, maybe just one little dose will be enough to be a big enough improvement for you. So I'm a big fan of like homeopathic doses, like the smallest possible, and build up if you need to, or use more as needed. Like if you say you have nightmares, you have a really bad night with a lot of nightmares. Okay. You might want to take a big dose. Getting to some of these other questions about side effects, what I tell patients is one of the side effects to look out for is dehydration. So, and somebody's asking about, you know, I've been taking tincture, it doesn't seem to be helping. I would recommend, you know, drink extra water. It seems like so simple. You don't need a doctor to tell you that, right? But yeah, tinctures can dehydrate you. Edibles can dehydrate you. Smoking, all of the methods except topicals, I guess, can dehydrate you. So, drink extra water, make sure you're hydrated. That can help across the board, all patients.
And do you discuss with patients about how taking like a tincture sublingually is pretty quick acting generally too, or do you ask and do you ask them tell them recommend holding it in their mouths for as long?
Right. Yeah. Ideally, you would take it under the tongue and hold it in your mouth.
It's an eyedropper.
A lot of our patients now are kids with seizures or autism or both, and so that's where that. The issue of like what's practical, what method's going to work. So yeah, you don't want a kid smoking, obviously. You want them taking the tincture, but a lot of them won't take it. They'll spit it out. So it kind of evolves to the parents putting it into food. So an edible form could actually be a tincture being put into food. This is also good for end of life when it's just really hard to swallow something or just in general, you just want to make it as easy as possible. So that would be like whatever that person is willing to eat, just put it in there. And we haven't touched on suppositories, but, you know, we're coming up with new methods all the time.
No, wait.
It's now the time of the evening to talk about suppositories.
Danielle, I have a question. In Colorado, I'm not there anymore, but transdermal patches were pretty big. Are there companies that offer those here? And does Lucida's office recommend those?
Right, good question. Transdermal patches are kind of a slower release, kind of like a nicotine patch or pain patch. And that's real hit or miss. I mean, there are some on the market.
I've had great success with them.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, they're on the market. It's not obvious that they're really helping a lot of people, but they're definitely helpful if that's like the most practical method.
Because again, ingestion is this.
Yeah.
Put it on you. Yeah. Put it on you.
You've had a lot of success.
A lot of relief. Success with them, yeah. And different varieties with different ratios of CBD and THC. If it's cannabis, I've experimented with it. So yes.
Now, does that mean that Adam has a more active endocannabinoid?
ECS. Maybe. Yeah, we all have that. You know, we all have this ECS that medical doctors are not even taught.
And well, it wasn't in the medical school books in the 80s.
It was discovered in the 80s. And as a matter of fact, here in the state of California, you guys have cutting-edge research going on at UC Irvine and at UC San Diego, at UCLA. You have the leading neuroscientist in endocannabinoids at UC Irvine and Dr. Danielle Pimino, who is legendary and knows more than anybody when it comes to the endocannabinoid system. And when he learned in the 90s, I want to say it was 94, when what he calls the bliss molecule was discovered, anandamide, he dropped everything he was doing, and that has been his life's pursuit ever since. And to have a mind like that and other minds like that is really going to benefit all of us. So there's a lot of great things happening in your state.
I just wanted to add something. Transdermal patches are, because of the way they go through into the bloodstream, that can affect, that you can have a feel with that. That's not non-euphoric.
Actually, that's 100%, and that is actually, depending on the strength that I'm using, something that I was looking for because I was so active in something. And like I said, certain strains and certain combinations of CB and THC really helped me medically in different ways. So 100%, I've felt high from those.
But it can also be really good for, especially if you're dealing with something that isn't using encapsulation. Instead, it's like we have like 3D rosin printed transdermals now, and you can actually cut those for dosage. So say we've been working with patients that have either been perimenopausal or sometimes it's like when people are transitioning from male to female, female to male, and you're dealing with different hormone balances, being able to use some of those patches actually to help with like hormones for women going through menopause, helping with hot flashes and things like that. And then just going back to, circling back to anxiety, depression, and things like that, when you're dealing with CBD and depression, be careful, because certain types of depression, CBD can actually kind of help. CBD actually can create a general malaise. It doesn't sometimes help depression. It's really great for anxiety. And people can be sensitive to CBD. So if you're working with a CBD product and you find that you're getting the blues, you probably want to stop using it, because people can be sensitive to it. I have a colleague that is just generally sensitive to CBD, and whenever she has even a very small amount, it gives her like the blues for a couple days. So tracking is huge. Really just make notes of how you're feeling and know that you're safe. I mean, it really, like, if you feel the blues for a moment, you will come back from it, but make a note of how you felt so you can avoid that product or that cannabinoid count.
Believe it or not, we have to sort of wrap up, because there's thousands of questions, because there's so many arteries. You think of one word and then it leads to other things, which makes our topic so fascinating. And what a mystery this bud actually is and was. Sarah, I wanted you to tell everybody what you're up to and, lately, because there's some new stuff going on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we've put together a rich education program at the Apothecarium. Every Thursday night at 5 o'clock, I teach class, and there's one of six different classes. They're on-site, they're on our website. I also just taught the first workshop series at City College of San Francisco, so it's a three-part workshop series, 3 hours of class. One is on the Cannabis 101. The other one is on history, politics, and legal issues around cannabis, which oftentimes really gets into, we talk about systems of oppression, and then we talk about cannabis as medicine. On top of that, I do a lot of traveling around the United States, lecturing about cannabis, how to hold space for the critically ill, and cannabis as medicine and cannabis policy. And I write for Cannabis Now. And actually, we have an amazing writer at the back of here, Jimmy. Check him out. He writes a lot of great articles about cannabis for Cannabis Now. And also my private practice, I teach healthcare practitioners about cannabis. I lecture at UCSF and Kaiser, and I work with healthcare providers in the area with their patients, and I have my own patient load. Pretty much 24/7.
Everybody would be very lucky to have a Sarah Payan in their local dispensary, like you wouldn't believe. So
And I have a webpage. It's sarahpayan.com, and that's S-A-R-A-P as in Paul, A-Y-A-N as in Nancy.com.
Payan, P-A-Y-A-N. Adam and I are going to, the card that hopefully you got that says the Cannabis Corner on it has our Instagram address. Daily, we are putting up current art. You can Google current cannabis news and just be flooded. So we choose one, huh?
Don't do it.
Yeah. It's an incredible time to be receiving new information. And even we're blown away after understanding how much relief there is out there in various ways. What's going on with you, Danielle?
Sure. Real briefly, I think we need to do a whole nother episode just to get through all the rest of these questions.
You did okay.
Which maybe we can do. And also, I have cards. I've got cards for my staffing company, which might not be as relevant, but I'm happy to answer questions on that end. But also, I brought cards for Dr. Lucido's office. Tell me that you met me here, and I'll give you the family discount. And also, you can contact me even if you're not trying to make an appointment. You know, I'll try to send you some links or answer some of your questions. I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I work really closely with the doctor and nurse practitioner. And we have really great staff. It's a small office. So anybody who you're talking with at our office will give you honest answers. A lot of times we say, honestly, I don't know. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's good when your doctor's office is honest with you when they don't know the answer. So don't hesitate to contact me after this.
Thank you so much for coming out and listening to us. We hope we were helpful, and we are available if you have questions. So thank you very much.
And that's our show for today. Don't forget to check us out on Insta and Twitter. We hope you have a great week. And we'll see you next time on the Cannabis Corner.